Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass and of the automotive social media world. You join me, your host Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales. We are here in Dublin as part of our Irish adventure with Quick Fit. This is actually my hotel room.
This is your room.
Sweet.
You've done well, mate. These rooms are nice.
We got a free upgrade. Right. We got a free upgrade.
Yeah, we did get a free upgrade.
I booked the cheapest room. They felt sorry for us because we turned up in really nice cars. They went, they must have booked the wrong room. We must upgrade.
Was it the cars?
We can't let them have a cupboard. So we've ended
up... Was it the cars?
I assume so. I don't know. He said, it's your first time here. You can't go in the room which you booked. That's definitely not right. So we'll put you in an apartment suite. So Tony and I have dual apartments, which I think is very nice.
We've got stairs, though.
We could have done this on a sofa. Bit formal here, isn't it?
Yeah, but formal's good because we have to be upright by the thing.
Anyway, we are. This is the moving podcast recording package. So apologies for any sort of audio issues. I try and keep this as compact as possible when we're on the road, and it is good to be on the road, isn't it?
We Absolutely.
Are having a good time.
Yeah,
hopefully, by now you would have seen some of the videos over across on the main channel. I can't predict time travel enough or predict the future enough to know what's been out and what's coming out. But as I say, if you haven't seen any of those, please head over to youtube.com/seenthroughglass and check out the Irish adventures. If you're joining us here on YouTube for the very first time, hello, this is what we look like. What's going
hello.
On? Yeah, nice to meet you.
It's the second time I've waved.
Yeah, just keep waving. please hit subscribe and turn on notifications for our usually weekly uploads. Apologies for last week. Those of you who are expecting the episode, I had some issues contractually with my last guest who's asked me to hold the podcast while he rectifies a few things that we spoke about. That is coming soon, but yeah, it meant we skipped an episode. So if you are listening to us, hello or welcome back. Again, follow us on whatever platform you're listening to us on as well for our weekly episodes. Today's episode is themed all around one thing, supercars, and specifically supercars for £250,000. I think a very relatable budget.
Well, I think that's what you need for a supercar now. I think that's what they are.
I think that's what we're going to get into, essentially, is the if you're really looking for a big hitter supercar, a proper supercar that is mind-bending speed, is the car manufacturer's flagship car, you're probably looking at £250,000. And we're going to get into the sort of exact details of that. But the reason that that is the theme is we are fresh, or I am fresh, off the back of my trip to Monaco in a McLaren 720S.
We need to talk about that.
Let's talk about it. Again, any of you who are subscribed to the main channel, apologies, because that trip kind of suddenly ended short. I did like, guys, tonight I'm off to Monaco. And then I never uploaded again, like I'd fallen off a cliff into the sea in Monaco. That's basically what happened.
Like you'd got ill or something.
I literally did. I got horrific food poisoning. I mean, we think it's food poisoning, but it got so bad I got in an ambulance, I went to hospital. I vomited all over a hospital, came out, I don't speak much French, and there was someone, I was like, oh, je suis très, très désolé, je suis malade everywhere. Because I thought I was saying I am sick, but apparently I was saying I'm a duck. Like, it was all a disaster.
I shouldn't laugh because you were ill.
It was so bad. And it ruined my whole weekend. And essentially, I didn't have the energy or the time to create and upload another video, because if you don't know, the Monaco shuts down during the Grand Prix weekend, obviously, because there are Formula One cars
was
driving
you on
around
your own
it.
There?
Sorry?
Was you on your own there?
No, no, no. I had my girlfriend with me as well, thank God, because otherwise I honestly could have died. So she did save me. But I did manage to get out and see a few cars. I'm going to overlay some B-roll now for those of you watching on YouTube. The very controversial LaFerrari, did you see this?
The was it like camouflage?
Yeah, what did you think?
It. Weird.
Not your thing?
No.
Would yours? You know I like a sort of tacky Halford spec car, and I like personalization. It's not what I would do with a LaFerrari, but I applaud people who personalize their cars.
It is exactly what Paul Wallace and Archie Hamilton would do to a LaFerrari.
There we go. Yeah. It's very YouTube. It's very YouTube. I feel like somebody did it just for a title somewhere. So I saw that. I saw my first Huracan Performante Spider.
And yeah.
That's a car I want to talk about in the 250 grand
okay.
Section. But you at Geneva. Well, no, you own the Spider.
I'm the coupe.
You own the coupe. Very different car, mate.
Very different.
Yeah. What did you, because you saw the Spider at Geneva, thoughts?
Not for me.
I remember you saying this.
Mainly because it hasn't got roof and it's a track car. I've said it before, but...
Yeah, it's not a kind of thing, is it?
Doesn't make sense.
What was the last convertible... Oh, no, 488 Spider. So you do like a convertible.
Yeah, yeah, but the 488's got hardtop. And the same with the 458 Aperta Speciale. Aperta.
That's on your list, is it?
No. No, but what I mean is people say, oh, well, what about that then? But it's got a hardtop, so it's a bit more rigid. Because... That's a track car as well, right?
Fair enough. So if the Huracan Performante Spider had a hardtop, would you consider it a little bit more?
No, because there's no headroom. Even for me, and I'm like 5'10".
You just don't like
that
car.
I mean, you can't
really
get in, can you?
No, I can't get in Huracan Spiders. I can't. Well, I have to have the roof down, because otherwise I have to lean down so much my back hurts. And when I have the roof down, I sit up normally and I'm looking at the bar of the windscreen, I can't see anything. So Huracan Spiders are...
So I said at Geneva... Virgin Vehicle Virgins.
Yes, Parker.
Perfect for him.
Yeah, it's
lives in LA.
LA car.
It's a perfect car.
Always have the roof
for
down.
UK. Yeah, because you wouldn't put it up.
There we go.
In this country, not
so
it.
Good.
No, no.
A few other very nice cars cruising around, but yes, apologies that I didn't manage to get another video out from that trip, but a very successful trip and a bit of an eye-opening trip with the 720S. I haven't fallen in love with it. I haven't completely rethought the car. I stand by everything I said on the original launch press drive I did over a year ago now, but I've understood the car a little better.
You've not changed your mind, though. I've not changed my mind,
but the thing is, I had such high expectations for that car when it launched. It had been described to me in the wrong way. People were telling me, you know, people that knew were telling me that it's really like a P1 almost replacement or an LT replacement. It's super hardcore, super lightweight, redefining the whole space. I was expecting this kind of track-focused weapon. And whilst it is one of the quickest cars I've ever driven on the road, it's also a very good GT car, and that's what it's supposed to be. So when I first got into it, I was like, oh, this is too soft and boring, and the launch car had all that glass roof thing, and I was like, I don't understand this. The car I had from Monaco was heavily carbonized, very sort of, you know, racy spec, drove it on smooth roads, and I got it, but it's still not for me.
It was actually quite a nice colour as well.
I loved the, Halford spec, I loved it.
I didn't like the wheels, but I liked the colour and the carbon.
If you were to spec a 720S, because you did very nearly order one.
I did order one.
You did order one? Oh, then you cancelled.
I cancelled it, yeah.
What, do you remember what spec you went for?
I didn't get to that point because I cancelled it before.
Because originally they had those sort of launch specs, didn't they, which were all a little boring.
Yeah, funny three or four colours, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But would you go for a sort of, I mean, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let you answer it anyway. Would you go for the comfort GT stuff with the P1 glass roof and all the comfort bits, or would you go full-on race car?
Performance race car.
Yeah. I mean, it needs it. It's quick. It needs the bucket seats and the carbon and everything like that, and it all came together. And so I'm really glad I had that opportunity. But the reason that we're doing this podcast with this theme is because it kind of got my brain worrying a bit. I was in this car that was unbelievably quick, but it wasn't a car that I was falling in love with. And I made a comment in one of my videos that I think being on that road at that time, I probably would have been going as fast and maybe having a better time in a 488, a Performante, a GT3. You know, there's so many cars, because on the public road, most of these cars now are as quick as each other. Like, we all argue about Nürburgring lap times and 700 horsepower and 800 horsepower and 0 to 60 in 2.8 and 0 to 60 in 3.1. But fundamentally, on an average road, they're all as good as each other.
With an average driver, essentially. If you, because nowadays, I think supercars are too good for the people that own them in terms of driving.
Okay.
Me and you would never exploit the capabilities of a supercar. I think a Formula One driver, of course they would, but we won't.
But I also think these cars are so good and so capable and so advanced that you can't extract it on a public road anyway.
No, that's right.
You know, when you've got active aerodynamics, I mean, how many times are you activating the active aerodynamics on a public road?
Because you've got to go stupidly fast to go around
stupidly fast around the corners. Yeah. And it's getting dangerous and it's getting silly. And don't get me wrong, you can get huge enjoyment out of these cars at any speeds. Mm. But my point being that there's a certain level now of supercar, which I think all do a similar job, and it comes down to personal taste and preference into what makes your heart tick.
And we're all different, right? It's kind of what we're all here for. We're all different. All got different opinions.
And recently, you took part in the supercar driver drag shootout head-to-head on an airstrip with a whole load of these supercars that we're talking about. So
the video's not been released yet,
okay, well, we can't say too much.
I don't think it's been released.
No, yeah, we've screwed, yeah.
Okay. Have we ruined our life?
Yeah, didn't realise that. Yeah, thought we could talk about it.
Do we know when this goes out?
This goes out on Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Damn it, Tony, I wish you told me that before.
I just realised, I haven't seen the video.
Sorry, supercar driver guys, don't worry, we're not going to ruin your results. That's okay, we can... freestyle ad lib. Okay, but talk to me, Tony. I've been battering on for way too long now. What are your thoughts? Because you have been lucky enough to see supercars come and go. The prices increase, the performance increase. Do you feel the same way now? Do you feel like there's a sort of plateau of capabilities? Or do you still feel like there are a few shining stars within the supercar lineup?
Yeah, so I don't think that supercars actually need to get any faster. I think they need to concentrate on getting that power on the road now. 650, 700 horsepower is too much. You don't need that much speed. You know, I'd done a trip down to Devon last weekend in the GT3 RS.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
So we all know that's only 500 horsepower, naturally aspirated, but it's light and it's got so much grip and so much downforce. And nothing would get near. Nothing got near me.
Nothing.
Nothing. So it doesn't matter about sheer horsepower on the road. That's more than fast enough.
Well, take the Mille Miglia, for example. When we were chasing an 812 Superfast in a Giulia Quadrifoglio, so we're talking about a £250,000, if not £300,000 car with 800 horsepower versus a £50,000 car with
510.
We'll Google that later.
No, it's about 510. Okay. I had one, you know.
I know, I remember. We filmed it.
We picked it up.
What happened? about 510 horsepower. And don't get me wrong, Jonathan Benson, Tyre Reviews, was driving the tits off the Giulia, but that 812 wasn't getting away from us.
It won't on the road.
It won't.
Because you can only go a certain amount of speed
on the road. You can only go so fast. That's right. And I think I'm with you where the concentration, the focus needs to be on getting the power down through the corners, but also emotion.
Yeah.
Because the sort of faster these cars become, almost the less emotion that they seem to have.
Well, that's the 720s problem.
That's definitely the 720s problem, is that you can be going as quick as you can. You can be going in. Sorry.
You went to the gym.
Yes,
sorry.
Sorry. Yes, I did. I won press up before podcast. I'm going to pass out in a second.
Not again.
Yeah. But yes, you can be going as quick as anything else on the road, but it doesn't necessarily give you that heartfelt emotion. And I'm going to bang on here about my 360 Moderna. But that
That's fast enough as well
Oh my God. But like, perfect. The experience I get from that.
The engagement.
I couldn't keep up with the 720 if my life depended on it. If there was a gun to my mum's head and they said, keep up with the 720, sorry, mum, you're dead. Yeah, like, it's just not going to happen. But I'm going to have a huge smile on my face. Yeah, not because my mum's dead, but from the 360. I love you, mum. 360, you know, experience. I don't know. I hope so.
Hello, mum.
Yeah. So it's very bizarre. What of your current lineup? You arguably have three at the moment of the best, I think, supercars out on the market.
One, yeah, three of one of the
911 GT3 RS.
Yeah.
AMG GTR.
Yeah.
And Huracan Performante.
Yeah.
I would say the Performante and the GT3 RS are big, big hitters.
Yeah.
Which of those, like, how do they speak to you? What do you like about those cars? What stands out about them?
So certainly for Nürburgring track times, they are the two big hitters, barring the GT2 RS. It's them two next.
Sure.
So...
And the AMG GTR is not far behind.
It's not that far behind. It's...
For Nürburgring.
Yeah. 10 seconds behind the GT3 RS, but on a 7-minute lap, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot at all.
It's not a lot
not
at all.
Not a lot at all. The
difference between the Performante and the GT3 RS, the Performante looks after you a bit more. It's more electrical grip, I would say. So all the systems and the four-wheel drive, it all looks after you. The GT3 RS is pure mechanical, old-fashioned grip.
Okay.
And when you consider that them two cars, if you just compare them quickly, the GT3 RS goes around 5 seconds slower around the Nürburgring than the Performante.
Sure.
Again, we're at a 7-minute lap, so that 5 seconds
around a normal track comes down to tenths.
It comes down to tenths. The GT3 RS is 120 horsepower down on the Performante.
Yeah.
They're both very similar in weight, and the Performante has more torque.
Sure.
So,
and the RS probably has more drag, doesn't it, with that wing?
Up in the speeds.
Yeah.
But the Nürburgring's all about corners, right? 100-odd corners.
Sure.
So that just goes to show how impressive the GT3 RS is. I think as a car, it's better than the Performante.
The slight disclaimer I'm going to put in here is that Tony is madly obsessed and in love with his GT3 RS to the point
Mate,
where...
it's the best car I've ever had.
I will admit it's very good. But I just want to be honest and open with my audience that this is going to be quite a biased interview. And I do feel like the answer to most of our points is going to be GT3 RS! No, GT3 RS! Would you pick a LaFerrari or a GT3? GT3 RS!
It used to be 488.
Yeah, well, okay, so look, where does the 488 then play into that? Because pricing-wise, again, if you were to go out now and try and buy a 488, you've either got to order one from factory when you're going to be going over 200 grand, or for a decent one, again, you're going to be looking over 200 grand. So that's another big hitter. And theoretically, price-wise, competes with those two cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does it fit in? Because that's a much softer, not necessarily track-focused Ferrari.
Yeah, so... well, obviously I just sold my 488, but I didn't want to. I sold it because I'd got to a time and a mileage where it had to go.
A dangerous tipping point.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So people would often ask me, if I had to sell the Performante or the 488, which one would you sell? And I would sell the Performante because I just like the 488.
It
was just so good at everything of what it did. Okay, it's not quite as fast around the Nürburgring as a Performante, and it wouldn't be as fast around the track, but it's not a track car.
And also, I think this is sort of my feeling and my point. Obviously, I'm not in a position to be buying these cars, and I'm only lucky enough to get behind the wheel when very generous people like Tony are given the opportunity to do so. So my opinions and feelings are a bit different, but I think this is what it comes down to. It's not now about the quickest.
No.
Because they're all so quick. They're all, you know, they're all Nürburgring tacklers. It's about what works for you.
And how they make you feel.
And I think that's what the manufacturers need to focus in on a bit more and forget chasing endless horsepower. Because, for example, what is the 812 super fast going to be? Do you know what I mean? Like the
TDF.
Because we don't need more power.
Did the standard F12 need any more power?
No.
What was wrong? I mean, even Jeremy Clarkson, didn't he? He said, this is a bit too fast.
It's a bit too quick.
And it's unlike him to say stuff like that.
And that's the thing is it's weird because, don't get me wrong, F12 TDF, amazing car, 812.
One of my favourite.
A12 is my favourite car. Like, give me £1 million, that's the car I go and buy tomorrow.
Would you?
812, hands down, straight away.
Not an 812. Oh, 812. Sorry,
812. F12. Sorry. Yeah, not F12. No. F12, I just love them.
But 812. I haven't driven an 812 yet.
Mate, that's the car. Honestly, okay, change that question. If I could buy any car from new right now, that'd be the first car I'd go and order.
But you can't order them, mate. Sold out.
No, I know. I have asked. I got turned down quite quickly. Okay, so let me let you fanboy a little bit and talk about this GT3 RS, because we've both had the amazing opportunity to drive it here in Ireland this weekend. And I have definitely fallen in love with it. And I think I fell in love with it the first time I turned the key and drove 10 meters down the road. I'm starting to understand why you're so obsessed with it as well. Now, the biggest thing for me is I feel like that car punches above its weight.
Much too much.
Much too much. What is it about that car that you love so, so much?
It's just perfect. Like, it's just incredible. Like, words can't...
Can I be a devil's advocate?
Go on.
It's just a Porsche. It's a 911, mate.
But it's not. You know, when he's talking about feel, okay, and how a car makes you feel? That's the most important thing, right? The GT3 RS does that.
Now, do you think a big part of that is the sound?
Yep, the titanium exhaust will help.
Also, just the engine, mate.
Yeah.
So, a naturally aspirated, that's a 4-litre in there, isn't it?
9,000 revs.
9,000 RPM on a flat six.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, because usually for me, the best sound of any car is outside.
Yeah.
When it drives us. And sometimes, like, Carrera GT is a prime example. The first time I got in a Carrera GT with Alejandro Salamone.
Poor you.
Oh, I know. What an awful day that was. I was shocked at how different it sounds inside. It's very mechanical inside. Yeah. You don't get any of that. That was my Carrera GT impression. Thank you. If you want it as a ringtone, let me know. The GT3 RS sounds incredible inside. That engine just sings.
And you know when you get it up in the revs,
mm-hmm,
the car like nearly shakes. You can like almost, you can feel, it's like alive.
# because race car. Now, before you picked up the GT3,
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
RS, your wet dream was a GT2 RS.
Yeah.
It's a car that you salivated over and aggressively pursued.
It still is.
Okay, so I wonder if you drove it, because it's turbocharged, would you still, like, I think the 3 RS is more you.
Quite possibly, because the way they're set up, the grip levels, they're the same. Mm. It's literally the GT2 RS got more power. Mm. It's as simple as that. Everything else. Sorry, I touched your leg.
You did touch my leg.
How was it for you?
Was like, that's great. Special moment. Carry on.
So the grip levels and the way it feels, I would think they're very similar, because they are very similar in the way they're set up, apart from the engine. It's a faster version of what I've got.
In a straight line, though, right? And yeah, out of corners, but...
But what is it out of corners? Because how fast could you actually go into a corner?
I mean, I'm just thinking about the immediate torque of a turbo.
Yeah,
pushing you out a bit.
Maybe.
But this is the thing, is I feel like I've never experienced GT2 RS, so I can't speak from experience, and I know you haven't either.
I've been with one. I spent some time with one in Scotland.
Yes,
you
did. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, is I can't see how it's going to be better than a 3 RS, given that it's turboed, and then you're not going to get that same sound, which I think is such a big part of the 3 RS.
And it's 90 grand more.
There you go.
As well, which is a chunk of money. However, if I was offered one, in a heartbeat, I would have one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we, anyone, anyone with a 2RS who is willing to let Tony and I
please
just drive it for a day or half. To be honest, I have been speaking to Porsche.
Really?
I have, but as you can imagine, they're pretty protective over the 2RS, and I've heard that you need to have a Porsche representative in the car with you at all times,
even
on test drive. But that's all right. We can.
I mean, technically, I am a Porsche representative. Yeah. I've had millions of them.
You literally are a Porsche representative, and I am too now. I own a Cayman. Don't think we qualify. But yeah, if any private owners out there and are mad enough to let Tony and I experience your car for a video, we would pay you in...
Sweets.
Sweets.
Yeah.
Haribo, chocolate eclairs, whatever you originals, want. Whatever. Yeah, you name your suite, we are there. So, yeah. Mm. I want to ask you, if you had 250 grand today, let's pretend I gave you 250 grand, and you've already got the cars that you have.
Good. I'm glad you said that.
What two cars, you can not both, but one or the other, would you look to go and buy?
GT2 RS.
Okay, well, hold on a sec. I'm going to stop you there. Because that's one of those cars, like all the Porsches, if you could get one.
Yeah, you're
because
right.
You're not getting one on the used market for 250 grand.
You're right.
What are they, actually, if you get offered one from factory, what are they, 180?
No. They are 240, 250. GT2 RS. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, GT3 RS. Mine was 161.
Okay.
The GT2 RS... specs, they're 240.
Oh wow, I didn't realize there were so
much.
Oh wow, okay, so from factory you'd only just get one anyway.
But they're not so much, because that's how much my Performante was, mate.
Yeah. Oh no, as in, we're going to get onto the fact that I think the 3RS price corrected on the market at 250 grand as they are is correct. That's what it's worth.
Yeah,
if you look at where it competes in the market. But I just thought the 2RS, given all the other Porsches, was going to be a bit cheaper. I don't know why, because they just are value for money, aren't they?
Fantastic value for money.
Okay, so let's pretend you can get a 2RS slot. I'll give you that as one of your cars. Let's pretend you can't get a 2RS slot. What's your other car?
I'm fairly stuck, and I'll tell you why, because the other two I've got.
You're such a rich baller.
So, but it's got to be a 488
Spider. 488
Spider? Got to be.
Get one back.
Yeah, because I didn't want to sell the one I had.
Fair, because they're brilliant.
I
mean, the only thing is, being on the Mille Miglia, being around 3,000 488 Spiders, I kind of went off them a bit, because everyone was driving them like pussies. But
that car is so good. I still love that car now.
Yeah.
And I had so many nice miles in it. I'd done two or three really good road trips in it.
Underappreciated, that car.
So underappreciated. And
I have
a theory.
I know why.
I know why.
Go.
Because when it was launched, if you remember, there was no Top Gear.
Okay.
There was no Fifth Gear. No one really...
Reviewed it. Really?
No.
That could be a good point.
I'm right. I've only ever been wrong once or twice ever.
In your whole life?
In my life.
Are you sure?
Yeah. 100%.
No, I can remember a few times.
No, you can remember once or twice. They were them. So, I think... And then there you get the...
It's turbocharged and sounds good.
I'd always have a 458 every Friday. So much, such a better car.
But
for YouTube.
Basically, Tony was impersonating me right then. By the way, that was literally what I say to him every day.
But that car, just how it makes you feel, is incredible. It's still a Ferrari, and for a turbocharged car, I don't think it sounds bad at all.
I have to say, they're very boring answers and very you answers. But fair enough. 2RS.
Okay,
and a
488
Spider.
Flip the coin then. What about you?
Bring it.
I actually know that I couldn't get an 812. I mean, let's pretend like on your 2RS, getting one from factory, even if I got offered an 812 slot, I'm not going to be able to afford it for 250 grand. Because
you couldn't buy one for 250.
Couldn't buy one. I mean, I'm screwed. Like, you could go in and ask for an 812 and it's already over 250
grand. Yeah.
So that's out the window. So what would I buy?
Two cars.
I'm not going to say a Challenge Stradale, even though it's in my budget. Two cars for 250 grand.
Old Albert Stopcock here. Come on.
Albert Stopcock?
Come on.
What does that mean?
It's just slang for...
Okay, so...
Give it large.
I would actually get a GT3 RS, based on my experience of this trip.
He's been in it 2 hours on the motorway. And the faces he was pulling. You wait till we get on the B roads, mate.
Because I've kind of gone on this Porsche journey now, that I've fallen in love with the brand and I understand the brand a bit better, and the GT car products especially I'm obsessed with.
They're so good.
And it is just a fantastic car.
Yeah.
And from the 2 hours, because this is we're recording this on Thursday evening, we've just arrived in Dublin. I got out of the AMG GTR into the GT3 RS, and it was just better in every way already. Yeah. Already.
Yeah.
So yes, I would have a GT3 RS. I would probably not spec it black. No offense, but none taken.
All different.
All different.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely go dark green.
Like everyone else.
Dick. and then what would my other car be? It's going to be a Ferrari. If it's not going to be an 812, it's probably going to be a 488 as well.
Because it's got to be.
It's got to be. Like, that's the thing is, I know this is boring, and I know the internet hates the 488 because it's a misunderstood car, and Alejandro, stop slagging it off. Oh, Tony's drunk, knocking over the microphone again. Hold on a second, sir.
They hate it because they haven't experienced it, half of them. Well, more than half of them.
A lot of them have on YouTube, but the commenters don't. Well,
exactly, I've that's what I'm
saying.
Messed
myself up. But yeah, no, I agree. I'm saying there's a lot of negative reviews out there as well, people driving it and slagging it off. But they're not Ferrari. They're not real Ferrari fans. They don't know what the prancing horse is like.
I don't care what anyone says.
No. That's the prancing horse.
That's a horse.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
Moving on.
Are you still
because,
ill?
Yeah, because the thing is, like, I wouldn't have a Portofino.
No.
I wouldn't have a GTC4 Lusso.
No.
812 I can't afford.
No.
So I'm left with the 488.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to buy a Speciale for 250 grand unless it's a left hooker, and let's just pretend we're not doing that.
Yep.
I don't want a 458. Don't want a Scud. Challenge for Dali, I ruled myself out of. What else am I going to get?
Nothing.
So for it is, I gotta have a Ferrari, haven't I? And I genuinely think when I'm in it, I do think it's as good as it. Like, I don't want a Huracan. I don't want a 720S. But what else is there?
No, there isn't.
There's... Like, I don't want a DB11. Like, there's nothing.
Does anyone?
DB11 V8 is sick. And the AMR's supposed to be really good, Tony, so sit down. but that's the thing is, I genuinely think at that echelon,
there isn't much to choose from.
There's not a lot to choose from, and the 488 for me is always going to be the one.
What about you use the Aventador?
Oh my God, get out. Tony's Lamborghini loving is making me feel sick.
No, I don't.
You're
love
spending
them.
Too much time with TG and Archie. Stop. And speaking to Paul Wallace on WhatsApp, why are you talking about Aventadors?
No, I'm just saying, I'm telling you, used Aventadors, £250,000.
The only one I would look at as an SV, and I would drive it once a year.
Yeah, because you can only drive it once.
Yeah, and not in London.
But no.
I mean, like, just not in London. I would just fucking take it to a proper road, because the only thing that car is good for is an absolute thrashing once.
That is such a good looking car, though, the SV.
Oh my God. Jog on, Tony. What's wrong with you, mate?
Honestly, the presence of it is unbelievable.
I don't
want to drive it. I don't want to own it.
You just want to look at it.
Mate, they're so good to
look at.
It's
the poster car of our generation.
It's a proper poster car.
It's literally the poster car of our generation.
Literally.
When we are, in 50 years' time, we will all be trying to buy Aventadors.
Yeah.
Because it's the McLaren F1 of our generation,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I find that really interesting. I was speaking to somebody the other day. We talked about it when we went to collect your GT3 RS. My obsession with 90s and noughties supercars. That those were the cars I grew up with. And so now, those are the cars that I want. As amazing as modern day supercars are, the cars that I really lust after are the 90s and noughties cars. Mm. And I can understand now why 40 or 50 year old men are buying 80s, 70s and 80s supercars. Because it is
Cosworths as well.
Like stupid values for cars that were just, you know, Testarossas and things like that. Mm. Because those are the cars that people grew up with. And when you get into a position where you can buy nice cars and nice things, I guess you want the stuff that you wanted when you were a kid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, your poster car.
I would happily, if I won the Euro Millions, just fill an air hangar full of like just weird 90s and noughties cars. Tommy Mackin edition Evos.
Tommy Mackin Evos.
Clio V6s. Supras. Why not? Like a fucking OG Fast and Furious
Renault
Supra.
5 turbos.
Oh, that's a bit before my time, so I'm aging you a bit. Even though Tony is just 29.
Just.
We need to move on away from the 250 grand supercars and talk about something that's just happened literally in the last few hours whilst we're here. It will be old news by the time this podcast goes out. But Matt LeBlanc has announced he's leaving Top Gear.
Yeah.
Thoughts, please, Tony.
Are you going to get interviewed?
No, what? For what?
Mate, you'd be so good.
Mate, stop. It's very, very kind of you, but...
I'm actually joking.
Oh. Well, that's embarrassing. What do you think, though? What, have you been enjoying Matt LeBlanc on Top Gear? Are you sad? What do you think's happening with that show? What do you think the future is?
He is a he's an actor.
Actor.
And I always thought he didn't really fit. And that everything was a bit staged. I don't think it was a good fit.
Do you think he was enjoying himself?
No. Because I think it was all scripted. Because you remember the old Top Gear? I know it was more scripted later on, because you could tell. But they all used to really bounce off each other well. And that, in recent years, in the new format, that's all gone. And he would be part of the reason for that. Because that's his job. That's what he does. He's an actor.
Chemistry takes a while to build, though, I think. And yeah. I did feel like Chris Harris and Matt LeBlanc were starting to build some chemistry, whether it was real or fake. I kind of liked their interactions. So
did
I'm
you?
I did. Mm. I started. Now, okay, this needs a whole other podcast, because I've never ever talked about it on Seen Through Glass, I don't think. But you know, I actually did. I don't know how to phrase this now, because I've never talked about it. I did a lot of auditions for Top Gear USA.
You did.
I actually got down. Anyway, long story short. That deserves a whole podcast, doesn't it? So yeah, basically,
we can talk about this for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I very nearly did Top Gear USA. It was a really exciting process, and we will talk about it in another podcast. But obviously, the final cast involved an actor, and so I was in some of the final auditions with him. And it was really interesting to see how that worked, because the rest of us at that stage, actually there were two actors. Again, I'm going to save it all for the other podcast. But it's very interesting to see an actor be a TV presenter.
Yeah.
Because they needed prompts.
Yeah.
They needed to understand the scene, the setting. He would say things like to the director or the producer, okay, so talk me through the scene. What's he saying? What's his opinion? Where's the room? What's the thing? And he'd go, okay, guys. Okay, and he'd like walk into the scene and then cut and out. It was very different. It was acting.
Like he was getting in a zone sort of thing.
Yeah, and he was playing a character of himself.
And
I do think Matt LeBlanc might have been doing something similar.
Yeah.
But I am sad to see him go. I much preferred Grand Tour Season 2 to Top Gear Season 2, if you think of the three of them. My honest opinion and advice is that they now need to just stop that show for a couple of years, take a break, regenerate it, come back totally fresh, maybe a new lineup or at least with a new format.
But who would fill his shoes?
Well, I don't think you can. That's what I mean. Like, and it's just going to get even more and more tired. They're going to have to try and start a whole new chemistry. It's just, you know, and I've seen some really kind tweets and obviously comments from Tony about, you know, different YouTubers, you know, all of us YouTubers. Oh, you got to go this guy and even like Carl Pervert and people like that. But I don't think that's right either. I think YouTubers do their thing on YouTube. I think it's very different to Top Gear. I think they should stay on YouTube. And I think Top Gear's got to be its own thing. So I'm sad to see him go. I think they need to take a break. And I promise we will do a Top Gear USA special at some point, because it was a fascinating experience. And yeah, sorry that I've never talked about it before. I think
it was close.
Contractually, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to actually talk about it, but I have, haven't I? I'll cut this out if it's not allowed.
Only like edged around it, mate. Like you didn't really.
Yeah.
You just said you was offered the
American
part.
Lawyers are really scary.
Yeah, they are actually.
Contract was this big. Anyway, more to come on that. Final thing, Formula One. Let's just do a quick recap of Formula One, because it's been a few weeks since we've done any F1 related podcast chats. Monaco Grand Prix, if you can call it Grand Prix. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did watch the whole
thing. Oh, well done.
With Archie.
Well done. That must have been very painful.
Obviously sitting in my ear saying he
would have won it.
He'd win.
I raced him in Le Mans.
Or like he crashed. Probably knowing him.
Any thoughts? I mean, did you have any thoughts on it?
Ricardo just ploughed round and no one really battered an eyelid he had a broken car.
Yeah. Now, I love Formula One, don't get me wrong, and I actually did enjoy the Grand Prix, because I just enjoy all Grand Prix. Like, I'm one of those guys that... Okay, here's the comparison I want to make. Do you enjoy 0-0 football games?
No.
No, not at
no.
all? Never. Never.
No.
Even if it's really close, lots of opportunities,
no,
lots of drama.
You go for the goals. That's the reason. If no one scores, then the atmosphere dies. It's... just a bit boring.
That's what I compare processional Formula One races to, nil-nil football draws, because they do happen every now and again. You know, it's in sport, things like that happen. You get nil-nil football, you get processional F1 races. Monaco does tend to be a processional F1 race, but every now and again you get a special one. And I think it's that possibility, that chance, there's going to be a bit of madness at Monaco. We saw it when Lewis did that extra pit stop by mistake and Rosberg ended up getting the victory.
Yeah.
We saw it when Ricciardo came into the pits and the tyres weren't there and he ended up losing it. We've seen wet races when Hamilton bashed into the barriers in 2008 and then ended up winning the race. You know, we've seen those crazy races. However, the majority of them are boring as hell. What depressed me about this, as amazing as the result was, because I love Danny Ricciardo.
Yeah, he's me too.
Really becoming one of my favourite drivers, if not right up there with
Lewis. It's his character.
He's just brilliant. But he's exciting to watch. Is that at any other track, he would not have finished, / he would have been overtaken by Vettel and all these different people.
He would have, yeah.
So quickly. And the problem was, this comes down to a bigger F1 issue in my mind. They were all managing tyres because they didn't want to stop again. Verstappen proved that if you have the speed deficit, you can overtake in Monaco.
Yeah.
He did it coming through the field with the back markers. He got past 5 or 6 cars because he had the speed deficit.
He'd done the best drive.
Yeah, it was exciting up until lap 15 when he caught up with Alonso, whoever it was, and then couldn't get any further.
Yeah.
But the first few moves were great and really exciting. Vettel had that speed advantage over Ricciardo.
Yeah.
He was a little bit too scared to go for the move because I think he knew Ricciardo would be feisty as hell. And also, he didn't want to wear out his tyres by following closely and burning up the rubber because he would have had to have stopped again, would have gone to the back and wouldn't have been able to make the move. So, a lot of people are like, oh, get rid of Monaco, it's crap. But as I say, when there's a nil-nil football game, people don't go, oh, reinvent football, it's crap. Shit happens, let's move on. It's Barcelona was dull as well. It's just sometimes you just have boring races.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to move on. I think Canada will be great. I love Canada.
It's fast track Canada.
It's a great track. There's always a bit of drama. And I think that the top three teams will be pretty evenly matched. So are you enjoying F1 this season?
Only because there are three teams evenly matched.
Finally. With three different winners.
Yeah.
Two wins each.
With three really good drivers as well. They're all top draw drivers as well.
Yeah. And so, I'm very happy that Ricciardo's beating Verstappen. Sorry for all the Verstappen fans out there. He's just got to sort his life out. But for now, I'm a Team Ricciardo.
He's got a screw loose.
He's
crazy.
He's fucking crazy.
But he's only a kid though, right?
No, it's not an excuse.
Not an excuse?
Not an excuse. Okay, sort out, you're an F1. anyway, not a Verstappen hater. I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. It's been great to get back and have a bit of a chat. We've banged on about supercars that are very unrelatable and unaffordable for the majority of us, except Tony. So I hope you've stuck with us and I hope you have found it interesting. As I say, I promise we will do a Top Gear USA episode soon. If you're watching us here on YouTube, hit subscribe, turn on notifications, make sure you're checking in for new episodes, hopefully every week. If you're listening to us, again, follow us on whatever platform you are listening to us on, and you can follow Tony at Gravelwood Car Sales, you can follow me at Seen Through Glass. We'll catch up with you very soon. Any final words?
No, goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.